This is Jim Inkster. Good morning and welcome to Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle's producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. You can reach us by email, talk@talklouisiana.org. We start with Louis Wren, president of the Louisiana AFL-CIO for the last 13 years. He actually is starting his 14th year next year. Second longest serving AFL-CIO head in our state's history, behind Victor Busey, who served 42 one-year terms. And you've got another 28 years to catch him. Who knows, it might work out.
No, I'm not going to catch him.
He was quite a man, and he packed quite a wallop, but he had a legislature that largely was in his camp. You don't have that same luxury. How is it dealing with a Republican legislature that is largely conservative and not all that kind to ideas like raising the minimum wage?
Well, it's a challenge. You know, typically the unions that I represent seldom make the minimum wage. We just involved in that and participate because it's morally the right thing to do. It's the right thing for workers. But you build relationships, and there are some on both sides that we have relationships with. They understand that doesn't really matter what district you're in. The majority of the people in your district are working people.
Well, you were on the show not so long ago and indicated that you, like the governor, would be pushing hard for an increase in minimum wage. Right now it's $7.25 in Louisiana, which is the national average, and we're one of about five states that is adhering to the national average. Others have gone on their own and raised it by themselves, many to the $15 level in the Northeast. In Arkansas, which is a state maybe even poorer than Louisiana and certainly a southern state with a conservative legislature, they just raised it to $11 an hour. Are we going to stay at $7.25 in Louisiana, or is there hope from your camp that you can raise it?
Well, actually, we announced a coalition of people yesterday on a new campaign called Unleash the Locals. As the governor has stated, Congress has gotten out of the minimum wage business. The legislature really doesn't want to. There are some in the legislature who really just don't want to vote on it. It's not that it always loses. It's that it never gets to the floor. So we're proposing as one of the new issues is, if the state doesn't want to be in the business, take the handcuffs off of local government. Back in 1999, Steve Scalise passed a bill that preempted cities or parishes from addressing a lot of issues about pay and benefits. And so if you're not, let the people back home decide. Let people in New Orleans decide what's good for New Orleans, and people in Baton Rouge to decide what's good for Baton Rouge. And this is our new approach. If you don't want to deal with it, then get out of the way and let local governments have the option to deal with it.
Well, here in East Baton Rouge Parish, we have a solidly blue parish. It's evident by the way elections have gone. Hillary Clinton won here. Barack Obama won twice in East Baton Rouge Parish. Foster Campbell beat John Kennedy in East Baton Rouge Parish. And yet the Metro Council is still a majority conservative Republican body. So would the Metro Council be amenable to an increase in the minimum wage if this were in their domain?
I guess we'll never know till we get the opportunity. It's hard to have the conversation about something they're restricted to do. I would give you the example of the ITEP, that you looked at the parish government. There is concern about a balance between economic development, the business community, and the people, that I think they could be trusted with the responsibility of finding the medium ground that works best for everybody. But without some action of the legislature to allow that, we're never going to know if that'll work or not.
877-217-5757 is your number, and you can send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org, and we'll go to some questions from listeners in just a moment. This one from Mary Patricia Ray, who says, do you think dealing with the preemptions on local governments will allow local people to think bigger than just minimum wage, maybe for paid family leave or other things that support working families?
Well, this is what we talked about yesterday. This is the first issue. You know, if you get in too many different directions at one time, it's hard to focus. So the group has picked this as the first issue to consider. I don't think they've limited themselves that this is the only issue. A lot of the groups who belong to this coalition deal with the inequities of pay and poverty. And I'm sure that they want to look at a myriad of issues that would uplift the poor communities, the poor part of our communities.
877-217-5757 for Lewis Wren, almost 14 years as head of the Louisiana AFL-CIO. And
no, lobbies that other union.
Yeah, I'm aware, and they have quite a place at the Capitol now, and things have changed, and it's largely because of the composition of the legislature. Back in the day, Victor Busey and Ed Stimel, they made their peace, and they pretended to like each other, and at the end they actually did. It's amazing how things like that happen, but they were worthy adversaries. Do you and Stephen Wagsback ever talk at all, or do you just kind of sneer at each other as you walk past one another in the hall?
We politely greet each other. There were some of the staff that have been there longer than him on issues that we can find ways to work together to get to what's best for the state. We do. I often work with Jim Patterson. I have a lot of respect for him. Issues as minimum wage, we're going to be on opposite sides of the table. We've worked together on incumbent worker and other issues that to find the best way. You know, every now and then they have a good idea too.
877-217-5757, David in Atlanta. You're on the air with Lewis Wren. Good morning, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. And I'm a former AFL-CIO union shop steward for the largest steamship company in New Orleans. And the increase in the minimum wage, I think, has a lot more to account for the low unemployment rate than the tax cuts for the wealthy did. And furthermore, when President Trump and the Republicans like Steve Scalise passed the tax cuts, they didn't tell us that they were going to have to fund the tax cuts for the wealthy and large corporations by cutting Medicare, which is the president's latest proposal. The Democrats were unjustly attacked for trying to cut Medicare to pass Obamacare when the cuts were only for fraud, waste, and abuse.
All right. The president, by the way, did submit his budget request yesterday, and it includes a lot of cuts to social programs, a big increase in defense spending, and a $4.5 trillion package, and we're running about a $1 trillion deficit. And this is from a president who promised to absolve that deficit. But money is sparse from governments everywhere. Does that handcuff you when you're trying to make these proposals? The governor, for example, today, Lewis, he's calling for a $1,000 teacher pay hike. You know, not a lot of money by any means, and one that won't even bring us to the national average, not to the southern average, not to any reasonable average, but he's going to have some challenges even getting that.
Well, first of all, thanks for calling, David. Mr. Trump promised a lot of things, and it depends which day you ask him. I think a lot of people are waking up when they're having to do their income tax this year and finding out the real tragedy of that tax break. In my conversations and what I hear from the governor is a plan to raise pay over a period of time. It's not just a $1,000. It's a $1,000 a year for, say, 3 years to try and get as close to the southern average. If you look at the education level on the teachers and what their value is worth in the workplace versus what they make as a school teacher, I remember one of the legislators telling me they went to work for Exxon. As a former school teacher, they tripled the salary overnight. And if we want to provide the best in the classroom for our future, our children, we're going to have to find some money to make the job at least sustainable, where they can have a lifestyle that's, you know, somewhat comfortable for what is one of the most important jobs in the state. So I don't think it's a choice. I think we have to find the money. I think for this pay raise, the money's there. Unfortunately, the speaker doesn't want to recognize the money. He's scared we're going to have a mid-year budget cut. Under Bobby Jindal, we had mid-year budget cuts every year he was there. Now that John Bel Edwards is the governor, we haven't had one since he was there. And, you know, that's like me finding a $20 bill in an old pair of pants and saying it's not real because I don't remember where I got it from.
the pride of Broadmoor High, Lewis Wren. His father was a business person. He owned Wren Stationery. Was he a Democrat or Republican?
He was a businessman, and in those days, you stayed out of politics because it was bad for business.
I bet he was a Democrat, though. Almost everybody in the state was at that point. But at any rate,
his deal was, son, we don't talk politics.
Really?
Politics is bad for business.
You got to be kidding. Not even at the dinner table.
Well, as I tell you, the conversation back those days were every afternoon on the news, you would hear about Mr. and as my father called him, Mr. Bussey. And Ed Steimel.
Mr. Bussey.
And actually, I went to high school with Ed Steimel's oldest son. We were best of friends.
877-217-5757. Some more time with Lewis Wren, the president of the Louisiana AFL-CIO for 14 years. And we're back after this brief pause with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and Lewis Wren is with us, president of the AFL-CIO. And by the way, Stephen Wagersback has been invited to appear on this show, and hopefully he will soon, the head of LABI, which packs a wallop at the Capitol. And there are some battlegrounds involving labor and business, and one of those is minimum wage. LABI doesn't want an increase. In fact, there are some members of LABI, like Lauren Scott, who say no minimum wage. Get rid of the $7.25. Just have the market dictate it. Lewis, you're frowning.
Well, you know, if we had no regulations on environment, we've seen where that would get us. If we had didn't have a mandate for overtime, I would suspect there would be a lot of people. You know, one of the big issues today, particularly in the construction industry, is misclassification of employees. They want to treat everybody like an independent contractor and don't pay their unemployment, don't pay workers' comp. Actually, the state is the one who comes out the worst in that deal because they seldom get their state income tax. But, you know, there's some who want no regulation. But I would tell you there are good actors and there are bad actors in the business community, as there is everywhere. And most of the regulations are to ensure that the majority of the bad actors have to do something right.
877-217-5757. Jim on O'Neill, you're on the air with Lewis Wren. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, gentlemen. I think we need to be really honest here. It's not that budget cuts or budget deficits that the Republicans are concerned about when it comes to funding education. It's the fact that an uninformed electorate is more easily led and more easily convinced. And so keeping the people ignorant it's in their favor. A highly educated population votes the other direction.
Well, I would agree with you. I would suspect that some people are misled to go down that path. I would hope that the majority of people, especially those in power, did not have that as an agenda, but it is true. But in today's society, here's the problem the conservatives don't get. If you don't help lift people out of poverty, then the taxpayers have to pay to assist them. You want to save money and have less taxes, elevate the people that you're spending the money to have to help. I mean, at minimum wage, you work 40 hours a week. You take out Social Security, even before you pay federal or state tax, you bring home $269, and you have to provide housing and transportation and food and utility for yourself, and God bless you if you have a child in there. And the truth is, and I actually was listening to this conversation on this radio station, it's exhausting to be poor, to make that kind of money, go to work every day, try and juggle that. And like I said, God forbid you have a kid. Then you have to go down. You have to stand in line. You have to go through the process to get food stamps. So maybe you get enough to eat. You got to go try and get housing assistance because there's no way you can have any kind of lifestyle. So you go to work every day to be in poverty. At the end of the week, you're just exhausted trying to exist.
All right. Eric in Lafayette asks a question. He says, what happens if you have this local option on minimum wage? And New Orleans goes to $15 an hour with a largely liberal Democratic city council, and Lafayette stays at 725 with a largely Republican conservative council. So if you would have these polar opposites, what would happen? Would people suddenly start moving to New Orleans? What do you think would occur?
I would suggest that people will go with whatever's the best fit for them. I imagine we have a lot of people who've moved from Lafayette to New Orleans right now.
And vice versa.
I think if you're going to trust the state government, you should be able to trust the local government. They're closest to the people. I don't think any parish or city is going to price themselves out of business. And most of the places we've seen, all of the places we've seen the increase in minimum wage, it has not been an economic disaster. People have not started laying off folks. Businesses have not left town. Everybody accommodates for it, and it works well.
What do you think your chances are at the legislature this year?
On this issue?
Yes.
I think it's an uphill battle. I think the same people who are concerned about lobbyist position, who don't want to have a vote on the minimum wage, are not going to want to have a vote on allowing local governments to address the issue. But that doesn't mean that you don't move forward, promote what's right and just, and see where you can go with it.
Well, thank you for joining us, President Lewis Wren. Congratulations on starting your 14th year with the AFL-CIO.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
Let's keep it going.